Don't be scared. I've done this before. Show me your teeth. Show me your teeth. Show me your teeth.
Don't want no money.
Some people are already showing their teeth early this morning. All right. Monday.
I am totally bouncing in my chair. Got no direction. I need direction.
Good morning, Ginger. How you doing?
I am doing fabulous.
How are you doing?
I'm in need for the allergies to just release me. Let me go.
Oh, yes, that too. I was trying not to mention the gunky, swollen, itchy eyes. I swear, because that is just so sexy, you know?
I know, right?
All right, so Saturday I made cinnamon rolls from scratch. Well, all right, before somebody corrects me, from box scratch I made cinnamon rolls. And then I just about cut off the tip of my finger. Because, you know, you roll them into a roll and then you cut them.
Why didn't you just get the finger? Why didn't you just get the Pillsbury and just do like I did?
Because
drop
it's so much more fun to make them and let the dough rise. And
it rose. Mine rose and everything. And I put the icing on it and I didn't have to cut my finger. You putting too much work into that, Jen.
It was fun, though. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
I will say this much. Those Pillsbury cinnamon rolls are not that great.
These are epic. Like I said, right before the show, I was still munching on one.
I was like, ew, this is not like Cinnabon.
No, and then you make the icing, too, with some powdered sugar and a little bit of vanilla and some milk. Oh, so good.
I learned how to make confectioner's sugar. Do you know how to make confectioner's sugar?
What the hell is confectioner's sugar?
Cornstarch and sugar, and you put it in the blender and mix it. I was like in the store going, oh my god, I need some confectioner's sugar. And then, you know, thank god for cell phones, I looked it up and was like, okay, I'm going.
What do you do with confectioner's sugar?
Make things like icing.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be for. I love the internet because I don't necessarily like to cook a lot, but when I do, I try to find something I've never had before or things you hear on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are like, oh, I meant, what is it? It was one that somebody else I keep talking about, Coco Vine. You keep hearing that, and I was like, I want to know what the hell that is and how to make it. And turns out it's wine and chicken or something. I don't know. But I haven't tried that one yet. But that's what I do when I know. In between playing games, I'll go throw something together like that. And not in between. I'm not that badass. But you know what I mean. You know,
yeah.
It's a Friday, I feel like trying something different, and I'll throw together something.
No.
Or I have theme nights. If I have little people over, like we'll have we've done some of the recipes from, what's the movie with the rat and the, Ratatouille. Yeah, done some of those recipes I can't think of any, Kung Fu Panda, with the dumplings. I learned how to make dumplings and.
Interesting. I never thought about doing that.
Yeah, and then, you know, you do that while you're playing you some GTA or whatever it is. Notice I picked GTA.
I do notice that you're mentioning GTA.
We are all putting the pressure on the Ginger for the GTA. Come on, Ginger.
I know. I don't know why y'all would be mentioning GTA at all.
Because we want you to come play. You know what, when you finally do play, you're going to be like, okay, I was missing out on this and I was resisting. This is so much fun.
Gonna have to.
Because you can't drive down the back roads of Texas for real and just hit cops and expect not to, you know, disappear.
This is very true. They will come after you and they will get you and it will not be good.
Exactly.
Exactly. They have internet in jail, so.
They do, but you're not going to use it.
No good.
Especially if you're Kim.com. Okay. So, and with that, Ginger, do you have some news you'd like to share?
Do
my quick expose first.
You can do your quick expose. Sure.
Okay, so actually, we're getting you primed for Thursday night when we will actually
be able get them, girl, get them
to talk about this Thursday night. Make sure you listen to us live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. You can come sit in the chat room or call in. But over the weekend, as usual, like I don't have enough work to do, I decided to see if there was any interesting people needing some things written, contract work, and I ran across a very interesting ad for someone who owns a video game website. Now, this is not unusual. Several of us out there sometimes, you know, put out the bat signal for other writers because, you know, we get overwhelmed. But what was so interesting about this one was that these people don't write their own reviews. They borrow everyone else's.
That is not cool.
They very closely stated, and Ginger and I have been over to the website for these people, that they go.
The website is crap.
The website is crappy, but they hire people to come in, search for reviews on games, and then take them and rewrite them, which in essence means they never played it. And if you are a frequent visitor to their site, you think they're giving you, you know, good information, and then just let your mind roll with every bad possibility. Maybe the game is horrible, but the review that the person chose happened to be a nice one. And, you know, the one nice review they had. Maybe it's the paid one. We all know that some people get paid to write reviews.
Yeah.
And then they copy it and rewrite it for themselves. And then now there's two good reviews for a bad game. And those of us who run websites, especially us here because we're all about the truth, we're not too happy about that. And we like for you guys to chime in. This is your community, too. Do you really want somebody taking a review and rewriting it without ever having played the game? In essence, forcing you to waste your money if you read this review and thought that they played through it. Again, stop in with us on Thursday night to discuss. We'll be talking about it. And then we'll tell you the name of the website. I'm not going to tell you during daytime. Nighttime, I'm going to tell you the name and just rip them up if you like, because that's what we're going to do. All right, Ginger, what you got?
What have I got? I have got, apparently, I've got a web page that's being a pain in my butt. Here we go. All right, so I'm just going to grab another one. GamePolitics.com this morning, The Simpsons tapped out, yanked from the Apple App Store.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. All right, so they say last week EA Mobile removed Battlefield 3 Aftershock from the Apple App Store because users complained about stability and lack of content. Now we have learned that another recently released iOS title, The Simpsons Tapped Out, has been yanked from the Apple's App Store as well. Except this time, EA says that it pulled the popular free app from the marketplace because of an overwhelmingly positive reaction to the game. Yeah. All right, so WTF, yo. Apparently, the demand was so high for the free app that put EA's servers under a lot of pressure. Those that have already downloaded the game can still play, but its new users will have to wait to get their hands on it while EA works out some technical issues. In other words, EA, you still suck. Your servers are crap. All right, to ensure current players have the best possible experience, we've temporarily removed The Simpsons Tapped Out from the App Store to limit the game's server's capacity, because they're crap and they run off of gerbil power, to its current players and address connectivity and lag time issues. This is what the EA statement said. So goes on to say, if you've downloaded the game, you can continue to play. Actually, your experience should only improve as we work on a solution. As soon as we have resolved these issues to handle a greater play capacity, we will return The Simpsons Tapped Out to the App Store so that even more people can enjoy this life-ruiningly fun game. All right. So feed the gerbils or update them with some monkeys or something. Yeah, you're the devil.
Oh, man.
Devil. Evil.
Because EA, Bobby Boucher, EA is the devil.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bonjour to Anuman Interactive.
Ooh, you keep talking just like that.
You started following us over the weekend. Bonjour, okay. All right. So, wow, this is going to be good. Okay. You guys know we love us some on live here, except for I don't like it on my iPad because I think my particular generation of iPad can't run, you know, I can't run games. I think if you have iPad 2 or 3, you should be fine. I think, and actually, I'm sorry, iPad 3, is that the one's being announced this week? Maybe. But
I'm all muted. I was like, oh, I think so. Let me see.
Yeah. But iSwifter is the new hotness, apparently. According to Vinci this morning, they found a niche for its cloud streaming service by enabling, get this, Flash games to run on the iPad. Yeah, you heard me right. I said Flash. It is now extending its platform. So
I thought they said Flash was dead.
That's why I said Flash. You heard me right. iSwifter is now extending its platform so that a wider swatch of PC game companies can stream their games to Apple's tablet. This means that PC game makers will be able to take games from their older library of games without little to no effort and get them running on the iPad. There's some screenshots floating around of StarCraft being able to be played on your iPad now. So as such, iSwifter can make it easy for game publishers to find a new source of revenue from their older games by adapting them to fit new platforms where users are plentiful. I got to tell you, if they put the Warcraft, not World of Warcraft, on the iPad, I am so down. Oh, my God.
Wow. That would be cool.
Menlo.
I did see a picture. Apparently, there's an OpenOS Second Life app for the iPad.
There's a lot of them, but all of them suck. But in any case, this may be exactly what it means to start making it work. But since Adobe gave up running Flash on mobile devices, it has created a big problem for a lot of developers who have a lot of content on social networks or the web and want to move to the iPad. But it's hard for them to do this if it means rewriting a lot of code, because you all know coding, not fun. Unless you like coding. iSwifter, of course, handles the conversion and makes it possible to run the exact same Flash game on an iPad. You users can download iSwifter's browsing app and play it free for 30 minutes. After that, it does cost you $4.99. According to all consensus, the game runs smooth and beautiful, just like it does on the native format. And, of course, OnLive and Gakai are using streaming to reproduce a high-end 3D graphics experience on lesser hardware. iSwifter isn't going in the box. Takes games with medium quality graphics and gets them to run on new devices. And they're saying, now we're ready to apply this technology in a broader way. This is Peter from Peter Rellin, who's the chairman of UWeb Incubator that spawned the iSwifter back in 2010. iSwifter has since spun off and become its own company, has 30 employees. In an interview that they did with VentureBeat, he said, "We want to license it to PC makers who want their games streamed to iOS and Android mobile devices." Notice we said Android.
Droid.
Thank you. He said, Rowan said that iSwifter is growing at a $10 million annual run rate. The company has already licensed its iSwifter technology to an unnamed large publisher. It plans to convert a library of PC games to run on iSwifter on the iPad. That is most likely the devil that has licensed this, since they said large. It's either EA or Ubisoft. If it was Microsoft, they would have said so. That company and a couple of other licensees are likely to launch games in the second quarter. So over time, iSwifter will likely expand so that it can handle multiple applications, not just games. It could do productivity apps, much like OnLive already does with its Office-capable online desktop service. iSwifter has also launched its Rover browser for educational purposes. So lots of good stuff going on. Very, very excited. They're over at GDC in San Francisco this week as well, trying to pick up a few new friends to play with as well. So good luck to you guys, iSwifter. I think it's a brilliant idea. You guys are going to be super rich in which one of you is single. And as an empty lap. Just want to know.
Yes, that is awesome. All right.
Wait. Okay, first of all, that was not Ginger that sang Flash.
Wait, what?
No, I'm teasing him because he put your name after. He says, "I must be in a great place in life. Every time you say Flash, the Flash Gordon theme pops in my head. That Flash, No, I know you know it was not Ginger. I'm teasing you, Jay. Why don't you get this woman some GTA?
I know. Where's my GTA? My sugar daddy is slacking on the job.
Man, all right. They've been playing this weekend. She could have downloaded it from the marketplace on the Xbox if she could find it and just been playing.
I need to, too. All right, so can't talk. GamePolitics.com. Artist M. Navarro, puts Spanish Sin Law to the test. Spain passed the anti-piracy Cindy Law late last year, and with it going into effect this week, opponents of the law that allows for the government to block allegedly infringing sites based on complaints from copyright holders are mobilized to cause confusion to its enforcers. The group Hacktivistas and artist Emma Navarro, a member of the music rights group SGAE, have come up with a unique way of protesting that will test how the new law is used. Navarro publishes his music under a Creative Commons license most of the time, but recently he created an all rights reserved track specifically for this protest. Hackavistas will put together a campaign encouraging websites to link to this copyrighted track without the author's permission. Hundreds of websites are now doing just that, and Navarro has reported a number of these sites to the Ministry of Culture, the department of the Spanish government in charge of handling complaints related to this new law. Hackavistas believes all the complaints will accomplish two things: overload the system and slow it down. Complaints have to be processed in the order they are received, and since Navarro was probably one of the first right holders to file so many complaints, his request must be tackled first. The hacktivist group claims this aim of this action is just on being the first one to use it in order to show the absurdity and the censorship that it will bring. Oh, good Lord, why can't I talk? Anyways, all right, so it looks like they are just trying to crash the system, more or less. This is just like any other basic IP attack, more or less, right? But they're doing it to their actual system, to the law. That's cool. I like this. All right, so I guess we'll see what happens. Good luck, guys. Spain, screw you. U.S., bad, bad, bad U.S. for funding this, by the way. And, wow.
All right, so I'm over at my people's at gamesindustry.biz. Got a lovely news site this morning. I like it.
Oh, yeah? They do?
You know, everybody tries, they tried to borrow our look just a little bit because, we're so... Actually, our site's kind of convoluted, but apparently everybody's... They're gonna cut us. Okay, so, but it looks nice. It is rather neat and straight to the point. In any case, congratulations, guys. We love you. We're still going to... make sure we throw you some shout-outs when we throw a couple of your stories. All right. There is so much stuff going on. So, where do I start? Where do I start?
Girl, well, if I had any idea, I would know, but no. No idea.
Let's start with this one. This one is actually rather short. Eurogamer is reporting that EA did respond to the unfortunate, what they're calling, the unfortunate game stock issue. They said, they're calling the situation unfortunate, but they're not anticipating any delay in getting their titles to the market. Last week, Eurogamer is the one that broke the news that no EA games past SSX would be stocked at Game or GameStation in March. And EA is saying it's unfortunate that Game is having challenges with its suppliers. It said, however, consumers have many alternatives, both in-store and online. Our first priority is to inform iConsumers of the many other retailers carrying our games. We don't anticipate any delay in getting our titles to market. So the publisher has today collated information on where you can buy games on each of their respective websites, including Mass Effect 3, FIFA Street, Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13, and The Sims 3 Showtime. And I got to say, what a way to throw them under the bus yet again. Yay. Wow. you could have just said, here's where you can buy our games. Don't worry. You didn't really have to say anything. Just put it up on your site. We all know as gamers, we kind of know where to go to, we're worried about our games. That's evil. Okay, but let me move on. I can't. That's so mean. So horrible. All right, and then next, you Star Wars of the Old Republic people, never forget an update coming.
But they got an update?
Yes. It won't go live until April. It's going to be called Update 1.2 Legacy. It's going to go live, doesn't say what date in April, just in April. This particular update, they're saying, is going to revolve around the Legacy system and allow you gamers to link your characters via a family tree. That is so adorable. I may have to play. Doing so unlocks abilities, characters, species, and mailbox and galactic trade network terminals for player ships. They stole that. They stole that straight out of the Lord of the Rings Online, because that's in there. The only thing you can't do in Lord of the Rings Online is Link is being married. So that's going to be interesting to see how they if they put that in. There's also something called companion affection and moral alignment, which will also benefit you. The game update Legacy also brings a new group flashpoint, raid operation, and group versus group PvP warzone, also stolen straight from City of Heroes. The flashpoint is Lost Island, which contains the flashpoint story from the Star Wars The Old Republic game updates 1.1, Rise of the Ragus. get to the bottom of the virus outbreak is what you'll be doing. Basically, the operation is explosive conflict, and you'll need 8 or 16 other players to tackle it. This takes place in a new zone on planet Denova, where unsavory types are selling explosive mineral beradium. You'll fight droids, mercenaries, and creatures. The war zone is Novare Coast, where two teams battle over mortar locations and use them to bomb bases. Teams of the same faction can fight each other. That's good. Star Wars of the Old Republic game update 1.2 Legacy also brings PvP war zone rankings, guild banks, and better user interface customization. There will also be the usual plethora of gameplay fixes and optimizations as well, although they don't appear to have been revealed to any of us just yet. Also, there is a new Friends Trial Initiative for Star Wars The Old Republic that starts on tomorrow. You can invite your homies, up to 3 of them, who've never touched Star Wars The Old Republic before, to play for free for 7 days, and up to a level cap of 15. I hate when they do that. At the end of that period, they'll get to buy Star Wars The Old Republic at a promotional price. What is the promotional price? And you know a lot of people are going to create a bunch of alts because of that. That's what's going to happen. Ooh, I can play for free. I got 15 emails. I'm just going to play.
Yes, exactly. All right, what have we got? Nintendo. Oh, why am I opening this and I already have it open?
I don't know about that, but there's been a collection plate passed around in Twitter church to get you a copy of GTA. So.
collection plate. Yay! All right, so patent infringement lawsuit against Nintendo dismissed. Well, all right, so Nintendo has won a patent infringement lawsuit by IA Labs that claimed the Wii Fit Balance Board infringed on one of its patents. IA Labs had sued Nintendo claiming that its balance board used with Wii Fit and other Wii software infringed on its rowing machine device, which attaches to the PC. The lawsuit was found to have no merit and was dismissed by a U.S. District Court judge. Nintendo legal eagle Rick Plum says, "We refuse to succumb to patent trolls. Nintendo has a passionate tradition of developing innovative products while respecting the intellectual property rights of others."
I love it.
"Yes, we vigorously defend patent lawsuits when we firmly believe that we have not infringed on another's party on another party's patent." Wow. Yeah, seriously, did you think you were going to go up against Nintendo and win?
Do I need to make the Godzilla Mothra reference again?
No kidding. Oh, my God.
That's why I stay on the good side of certain folks. Notice we'll mess with EA a lot, but Microsoft, we're trying to sidestep. Nintendo, we sidestep.
Nintendo, I love you. Nintendo, here, look.
Oh, my God. Oh, no, ma'am. I'm done for the day. Good night. Good morning. Have a great day. Lunch is over. I'm done.
Oh, come on, Nintendo. I need a 3DS. Nintendo, please.
Oh, my God. We'll work for consoles. There you go. We'll trick for consoles. Not good. I'd be ashamed.
Not.
All right. I don't even know what to say after that. I guess I'll tell you guys our future job for the day. Oh, apparently somebody, our future job for the day, somebody out there is looking for themselves a good experience programmer. This is a startup company seeking to launch initial elements of their game system online. The product is unique to the market, and they're just shy of launching, so they need you badly. They do want you to know as a temp contract position, 2 to 3 months, with the potential of full-time employment and bonuses. You're able to work quickly and independently and remotely. They don't need you to be there where they are in Detroit, Atlanta, because they have staff in Detroit, Atlanta, and Waco. They're offering good pay, they say, with bonus upon completion. This, again, is our featured job of the day. So if you need a job, pop over and check it out. And if you're looking for a place to post jobs on our job board. We're part of a very
Bring it on over.
Yep, that's the front page of us for us. I'm trying to breathe and stuff. Texas.
Not I'm still over here laughing.
Now, I do need to let you know, this is one of our teaser stories. Reverb, which is another company that we love, their publishing company, has officially licensed Unreal 3 Engine for worldwide site license agreement. Yay!
Yay!
Under the agreement, the developers that sign on with Verve Publishing will now be able to harness the power of Epic. I'm sorry, of Unreal.
That is awesome.
good God, y'all on Twitter, wrong, just wrong. So they're saying, along with Reverb's digital publishing program, which is designed for all three major consoles, and PC, and Mac, and iOS, and Android, because they're just that bad ass. This agreement makes Reverb the first dedicated digital publisher to secure a license agreement for Unreal 3, and it provides all development teams working with Reverb Publishing full source code access to the latest UE3 technology and Epic's world-class technical support. They are pretty nice at Epic, even when you have the free version, because they were very nice to me. It was back then. And no, Skybox is not where you put your stuff, Ginger. The Skybox was which you hold the sky to make it move and stuff when you're building levels.
Oh, cool.
Used to be. I don't know. I'm kind of behind on my level building, so it might be done differently now. So you used to have to build a box to make it move. But anyway, Unreal Engine 3 uses the same technology used to create Reverb's Publishing's first title, mega hit Dungeon Defenders, which was developed by Trendy Entertainment, and it recently surpassed 1 million paid downloads on PSN, XBLA, and PC. Reverb is saying this license with Reverb ensures more Unreal development teams are supported with the type of launch programs independent studios need to have a successful digital title. And I'm reading stuff all kind of crazy. That's from Joe Kreiner from North American Licensing. He's the North American Licensing Manager with Epic Games. You know, lack of oxygen will just screw you up. Just a small bit will just completely mess up the way you speak everything. He also says that UE license gives Reverb another tool that we can add to our menu of services for independent developers. That's from Miss Katie Morgan, who's the Vice President of Business Development at Reverb Publishing. She said, in many cases, developers find themselves struggling to provide their title with production, public relations, and marketing support from Sony and Microsoft. Reverb offers a program flexible enough for developers of any size, with the indies starting with the UDK to mature studios looking to establish more freedom from traditional publishing shackles. I like that they said shackles. Reverb Publishing also welcomes independent developers to join its growing roster of amazing titles, including Dungeon Defenders, Black Knight Sword, Jeremy McGrath, Jam Live Music Arcade, Sanctum 2, and many others. Of course, for more information, if you're a developer or you just want to see what they're working on, you can pop over to ReverbPublishing.com. In case you're like, I don't know any of those games, I'll tell you a couple of the other ones that they've made. Try Guitar Hero, Rock Band, The Beatles, Dance Control, Star Trek, Zen Pinball, Battle Slots, Army of Darkness, and Blood Rain.
Kung Fu. Blood Rain.
Yeah, these guys are heavy hitters, so they're not, you know, new. They've been out since 91, looks like. So go check them out if you're interested in developing games or you just want to stalk them. Tell them that we sent you. Hi, Dana. Hi, Jerry. They're going to cut me. I say they get a kick out of when we do that. Would you believe that, Ginger? I'll tell them. I said, we were talking bad about you on the podcast, and they'll go listen when I say their name.
That's awesome.
They'll go, that is awesome. I like when you say our name.
See, that is still cool. That is still cool that they are still down to earth enough to find that awesome, you know?
Yes. Like us. Oh, I forgot to mention yet again. Yes. Okay. We are still waiting for Kickstarter to finish the final approval of our Kickstarter project. Make sure you are following us on Twitter. Have all your peoples following us on Twitter. And we'll keep you up to date as soon as it goes live. We're expecting tomorrow to be able to tell you the good news. Or maybe later tonight. Keep your fingers crossed. We're very excited.
You can see my plan to take over the world with midget strippers.
I'm done. Pass the baton back to Ginger. I'm gonna go back to Twitter Church.
Yeah, we probably need to.
And that's what Chief said. Go ahead, Ginger.
He said, let there be lots of midget strippers. All right, Dragon's Call defended from massive hack attacks. Dragon's Call, a popular web game developed by IU Network Technology, has been fascinated by lots of players that it has rolled out Chinese, English, Russian, and Arabic versions of to enthusiastic players. So they're rolling it out for everybody to play. However, it's reported that its Russian servers encountered a big issue several days ago. On the afternoon of February 26th, server time, a huge wave of hackers began launching attacks on the Russian Dragon's Call, which suddenly aroused chaos in the game. Many players found that their gold was used up, their gear was sold out, and even their accounts were completely stolen.
Oh, that's fighting words. You took people's gold?
That is serious fighting words. Oh. That is not cool. That is, I will stab you. I don't care. I will stab you through life over that crap. All right, so the hackers even took control of some guilds and maliciously disbanded many of them.
Oh.
In view of such an emergency, the officials took a quick action, though reluctantly, to shut down the server and roll back the data. The hackers also made attack attempts on the Arabic servers and English server 9, but in front of a series of instant and effective measures by the officials, their evil attempts were successfully interrupted, which prevented the game from further losses. That is awesome. I'm glad that y'all were on the ball and that y'all were so nice enough to roll back the servers, because I'm sure y'all probably lost some real-world money out of that. Oh, I'd be hot. I'd be so hot. Oh, I'm not even kidding, people. You screw with my games, you're going to get cut. You're going to get cut every which way. It's not going to be fun.
That is... okay.
No. All right, so that was a short one. Can I have another one?
Go ahead.
All right, let me cough and try to get my voice back. I'll tell you, man, this weather in Texas is killing me. All right, so first 3D Shaun the Sheep episode coming to Nintendo 3DS. Shaun the Sheep, yay! All right, so the first exclusive 3D episode of Shaun the Sheep will be available this coming Wednesday, the 7th of March. That's just 2 days away, people. And only on Nintendo 3DS owners can, only Nintendo 3DS owners can receive the episodes via Nintendo Video. As part of a partnership between Nintendo and the award-winning Artem Animations, the creators of Chicken Run and Wallace and Gromit, Nintendo 3DS owners will receive the brand new 3D Spot Pass content for free. Nintendo and Aardman will be releasing 15 clips featuring Shaun and his flock embarking on brand new adventures available in 3D for the first time. All of your farmyard favorites are featured in the series, including Shaun, Timmy, it's always Timmy, Bitzer, the farmer, the flock, and each week you'll be able to watch them like never before via Nintendo 3DS. The first episode is available to receive via Spot Pass on the 7th of March, like I said, and sees Shaun and the gang heading out for a relaxing picnic. Unfortunately, the farmer's fishing trip in the adjacent field is set to spoil their tranquil meal. All right, so if you want to see these, you have to make sure you've downloaded the free Nintendo Video application from the Nintendo eShop. The exclusive clips can then be received via the Spot Pass feature when your Nintendo 3DS is connected to the internet via Wi-Fi. And even when your Nintendo 3DS is in sleep mode. There are now thousands of public Wi-Fi hotspots across Europe, meaning that you could even get Shaun the Sheep while you're on the go. All right, so this is awesome. If anybody actually gets this, has a 3DS, and watches them, let me know. I want to see how hilarious these are. And I'm also curious how quickly these are going to end up on the web.
All right, now... here comes the fun part of our show. If you don't get to listen live, then you probably don't get to participate in some of the crazy things we have going on Twitter. And if you help us fund our Kickstarter project, that'll be even more fun, chat room and this type of stuff. We're having Twitter church. Gamer Twitter church. And the latest quote is, "Thou shalt be kind in thy co-op as thou shalt be to thyself." And select thine memory slot and be saved. Okay, so... I love our people. All right. Who loves raspberry pie? Ginger, you're muted, dear.
Oh, my God. Like raspberry pie? No.
Well, you're going to love it even more after I tell you about this. VentureBeat got to speak with the peoples who are the creators, the mind behind raspberry pie. You're like, what the heck is raspberry pie? I'm going to tell you. Apparently, Apple and BlackBerry aren't the only fruit-flavored brands that can cause a stir with new hardware releases. The UK-developed Raspberry Pi PC is a credit card-sized, bare-bones computer selling in two variations. And I want you to sit down, Ginger, and breathe into the paper bag. Don't hyperventilate when I tell you this price.
Wait.
Everybody get calm before I tell you this. Are y'all ready for this? The pricing on this. You're not going to believe it. You ready? $25.35, effectively. Slightly less than it costs to buy an iPad 2 cover. After the Raspberry Pi launch through retailers caused a temporary website crash.
Wow, you people are nuts.
No, not nuts. That's a $35 computer that'll fit in your pocket. Ginger, come on.
That is hot. That is hot. You know what? I've already got a computer in my pocket. It's called Android.
No. See, this is where we're talking. Let me tell you about it. Come on now.
Okay.
So, VentureBeat managed to speak with Evan Upton, who's the director of the Raspberry Pi Foundation. He says he is thrilled that the demand has been absolutely enormous. Pi is available now internationally through several outlets, two of them being Premier, Farnell, and RS Components. There are no plans to increase the number of distributors, so expect website crashes if you try to grab yourself one. These companies are in the position to build a very large number of devices. Mr. Upton is quoted as saying, and he believes that the backlog of many, many tens of thousands of orders will be addressed by April, which is not bad considering it's March. He says there's a lot of excitement for the new hardware platform from a nonprofit organization. Do you hear what I said? Nonprofit. The Raspberry Pi Foundation is a UK-registered charity. They want to foster programming skills among students and promote the study of computer science. That is delicious, just like pie. Okay, so
just like pie.
I'm gonna skip all.
I love you, Corey.
Let me skip all the necessaries and tell you the specs, because some of you are like, it can't be that good if it's the size of a credit card. Both Raspberry Pi models are equipped with 256 megabytes of RAM, 700 megahertz ARM processor, and a Video Core 4 GPU capable of Blu-ray quality 1080p playback. The hardware architecture is not too different from a smartphone, which should help any software developers, has a lot of graphical performance. It's a really good platform to port your iOS or Android apps onto. They already have early developers who have taken apps from the mobile device to the Raspberry Pi and found that it works just fine. And in fact, it performs very well. So they're saying, they're being asked, do they have any plans for an app platform? And they said, maybe. we haven't had a chance to do it yet. In regards to the product portfolio, Upton responded he has no comment about future products, and he says you can take from that what you want. He says even if the Raspberry grows into a big computer brand, he doesn't envision the charity turning into a regular corporation. He says it's nice to be free of the pressure that comes with running a commercially funded startup. There's always pressure to do things because they make money rather than they're the right things to do. He says the Raspberry Pi Foundation will make money, but that money goes back into supporting what our primary goals are. In his day job, Evan Upton is a technical director at a semiconductor company, Broadcom. And if you don't know what Broadcom is, on a computer and look for motherboards, it's all over everything in there.
Yes.
His employer, Broadcom, has been very supportive of what he's doing. He said, so it's a good alignment between what Broadcom likes and what the Raspberry Pi Foundation is trying to do. Currently, Broadcom also supplies the BCM2835 system on a chip for the Raspberry Pi boards. And he says, although the nonprofit status makes it easier for the foundation to negotiate discounts with supplier parts, Upton emphasizes that his employer is not cutting Raspberry Pi a sweet deal. Broadcom is making money. All the components are purchased on commercial terms. We are not subsidized. Okay. I think this is fantastic. I want one. I might want to play some things. And if it's in my purse with my credit. Man, I could. You know how I tell you guys when you go shopping, our girls out there, to put the credit card in the fluffy cake holder?
Yeah.
This PC will fit in the fluffy cake holder with the credit card, the cell phone, and you can just roll out.
Keep talking just
like that. I know. Oh, I have to sit back. My head is hurting. $35. That's the cost of your coffee for a month, people. And it's a non-profit. Imagine the things that these people could do. Oh, God. Okay, some of you out there are feeling philanthropic today. Why don't you go over and order a whole bunch of these for your local elementary school and just drop them off. Here you are.
Yes, exactly.
Every kid in the school can have a PC to take home. No more textbooks. They go green. Come on now. Think, people. Okay, I'm sorry.
That would be awesome.
That is lovely. And he's
totally loving.
Look, and he's a proper-looking English boy, so and we like it, too.
Ooh, we like us some English boys.
We love it.
Corey definitely likes her some English boys.
They like me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we're not going to get into what I ran into.
Tell me later.
I don't know where I find these people, I swear.
Wait a minute, let me update you on the church. Red, don't I rebuke you?
Yay! I hate that damn red ring of death. All right, so what do we got? Man, I've just got a bunch of just junk news today, so I'm sorry, people. I'm sorting. Magic Alliance, Palm Link announces its new iOS social game, Magic Alliance. Intriguing simulation strategy meets Tower of Defense gameplay, breaking through the monotony of other simulation games. Wow, why can't I talk today?
It's me, I'm sorry.
All right, so with elaborate artwork and a distinctly styled 2D cartoon characters, Magic Alliance is a light game where one can stop and continue at any time of the day. The many tasks to complete, items to collect, and friends to play along with keep you immersed in medieval frolic. All right, this crap. Oh, my God. All right, so build up your estate, fortify defense structures, and forge alliances to fight evil together while exploring the vast virginal regions in Epoch Land. Virginal. Connect with your friends from Facebook and Game Center. The more you invite, the more gifts you are more likely to receive. Wait a minute, what is this about? So if I invite friends, I might get gifts, and if I invite friends, I might get gifts too?
Of course.
All right, so yeah. Anyways, all right, so this is called Magic Alliance. I think I have a link up on GameNatrix.com this morning. Head over there and check that out. I don't promise this is any good at all, period, but yeah.
Oh, be nice.
iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, iOS 4.0 or later.
You said it right. iPad, my game's full of crap. That's right.
And it's free. I don't know who wrote this, but fire them from a cannon and do something.
All right. So I'm here this morning to answer the age-old question. Do monsters go to hell?
Probably.
Hell yeah. Ah, Sega of America are actually, and Sega Europe Limited are excited. Here we go back to the excited. To announce, hell yeah, Wrath of a Dead Rabbit. What's this? You haven't heard of it? That's because it hasn't been announced yet. That's what I'm doing now. Filled with comical gore, plenty of fake blood splatters, and a hot-tempered rabbit prone to extreme violence, what more could you ask for? A drill? Aha, yes, it has a drill as well.
Wait, hold up.
I said rabbits, and I said drill, and I said plenty of fake blood splatters. You heard me. Located in the depths of hell and developed by Arcado Studio, this is a single-player game that's going to be unleashed on Xbox Live Arcade. It doesn't really say the date other than it'll be on PlayStation and PC as well. This year is all we got. The premise of the game is you are a devil rabbit named Ash.
You devil rabbit!
Devil rabbit, who happens to be the prince of hell and feared by all. But one individual has...
damn rabbits.
Yes, you know. One individual has forgotten that. Your arch enemy, Fat Rabbit, has posted your secret sex
fat
picture.
Rabbit.
Right? Has posted your
can't
secret
be a skinny
sex...
rabbit. No, has to be Fat Rabbit.
He has posted your secret sex pictures all over the hell net.
Wait a minute, what?
Your secret sex pictures all over the helternet, and that makes you angry, very angry.
Jay, I totally know. I knew you were going to share those pictures.
You're not Ash, are you? Okay, so apparently this sucks, and you want him to burn in hell, and with your hot temper, you can make revenge. Oh, so sweet. It's you and your trusty driller, some other ones in the situation against everyone else. You can drill your way to vengeance and explore the huge and varied world of hell yeah. Delving into the darkest depths of the underworld, you can ride the driller as a slaughter machine and exterminate those rude and ugly monsters by blasting and tearing them apart on your mission to get Fat Rabbit. Don't feel bad. They all deserve to die. It's you against hell, after all. It's hell, yeah.
Wow.
For more information on this game, they did not give us... Oh, they gave us a trailer. I will try to grab that for you, but no promises. You know, we're still doing a whole bunch of updates in preparation for our Kickstarter project.
Yes,
so
I can't wait.
But if you want to go check it out, go over to projecthellyeah.com. Tell them that we sent you over. I'll try to grab some screenshots for you. Looks like they did attach some. I just didn't notice at the bottom. Thanks, Sega.
Sega.
Anybody remember that?
Yes. Right before the music for
I'm sorry. I'm having some vitamins today.
I know, right? Okay, I don't think I read this one. I may have. Slap me if I did.
I want to invite that, you know.
Announces a March 12th release date for All Zombies Must Die on Steam. The Walking Dead have taken their time ambling their way onto PC, but for good reason. The Steam version of All Zombies Must Die has been tweaked, tinkered with, and transformed into the best version of the frantic twin-stick shooter yet, something PC gamers can be proud of. All Zombies Must Die combines twin-stick shooting with persistent role-playing elements for a refreshing take on the well-worn subject of zombie slaughter. The fate of humanity rests in the hands of four unlikely heroes, Jack the Gamer, Rachel the Girl. Hey! Whoa! Back up! Why can't the girl be the geek or the gamer?
Ooh! Ooh!
Seriously, look, Jack the Gamer, Rachel the Girl, she's only the girl, Brian the Geek, and Luxo the Alien.
Well, you know, last night at midnight I was up watching the talk show, the companion show to The Walking Dead. And the guys on the show made some comment about girls are not geeks, and that they were talking so geeky that the estrogen was going to drive or something like that. Some comment they made. It was innocent, but it was also stupid. I almost called in. Their show's live, too. I almost called in, but I was too sleepy. I was like, I can't formulate good thoughts. So next week, y'all watch Talking Dead. If I can get through, I'm going to be like, by the way.
Wow.
I'm going to discuss with you this whole girls are not geeks thing.
Exactly.
I am geeking proud of it.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess I can get back to the press release.
I got to finish praying real quick.
Oh, she sings a song.
She sees it, you recognized it.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. All hell, Master Chief. All right, so the Steam version of the game addresses zombie swarming with a new treacle mechanic, making it possible to wade through otherwise impenetrable crowds of zombies. Additionally, the gate quest structure of the game has been rejigged to improve the flow of play, making things less harsh towards the end of the game. As well as all of this, the Steam version comes in tow with its own integrated leaderboards and achievements. Taking on board feedback from the console versions of the game, Double Six has trimmed the fat, spruced up the core mechanics, and put together an even more enjoyable arcade RPG than before. The wait, it's fair to say, has been worth it. All right, so if you head over to GameNatrix.com this morning, I have the links for you. Personally, I'm still mad that the girl only gets to be the girl while the two guys get to be the gamer and the geek. I'd like to say I hope the girl smacks both of them.
Or doesn't let them see her fluffy cakes since they don't think she's geek enough.
Yeah, you hear that? Zip in the zipper.
Oh, no. Oh, get thee behind me. this is not good for you guys. Okay. Not bode well. All right. So I got more people. I love it
what
when they said. Did you already do Wicked Monsters?
I don't think so.
Well, because this just came in too. I love when they send it in. It's all fresh. Wicked Monsters, those of you who like monsters, because it's all about the monsters today. Okay, this game looks so adorable. Okay, Wicked Monsters is going to hit shelves next Friday. Woo, yay. It is the highly anticipated family-friendly shooting game for Nintendo Wii, crammed with over 20 challenges, 12 mini-games, and an extensive multiplayer mode. Wicked Monster Blast is one of the few shooting games on the Nintendo Wii which is suitable for a whole family to play together. You can play as the characters of the Wicked Monster series and shoot it out with cartoon style animals, aliens, and monsters, all set in a brightly colored cartoon environment. It's so adorable. You can probably find it on YouTube. We'll add that to our channel while Ginger's talking here in just a second.
Yay.
You use the Wiimote to wait a minute, where am I? Never scroll. Gameplay is supposed to be fast paced and nonstop. Each stage poses a unique challenge, and you must combine skill with intensity in order to progress through each stage. Some early reviews are saying that it is fantastical. One of them is our friend over at GamerFocus.ca, who should be listening this morning. He might be passed out. He's saying kids are going to love the crazy characters and minigames. And that's the only time you will hear us quoting somebody else about a game review, because we have to know you. We have to like you. So make sure you check that out. Again, it's out next Friday. Let's see. I'm trying to see if there's any more thing. Oh, there's a four multiplayer, an arcade-style multiplayer game, you know, for up to four people as well. People cooperate to get past challenges while still competing for the high score. You also have an arcade mode where you can select a crazy character and follow their story specifically. The family mode allows you to select from any of the mini games you want to play separately. You have a survival mode, which you can shoot your way through as many rounds in the random games as you can, and you can use power-ups by pressing the A button to help boost your score or hinder other players. Hot, right?
Totally.
Very, very nice. Make sure you check that out. Again, that's going to be out Friday, March the 9th. And if I'm not mistaken, across the country, little people are going on spring break everywhere. And if you can't get them out of the house, you better give them this and say, okay, go over there and play this. Leave me alone.
You can always send them here. I've got things that need to be painted.
Ginger.
What?
Bad ginger.
Cheap labor.
Ooh.
I'm just taking a note from Apple.
Bad ginger, bad.
All right, so Minecraft Pocket Edition and 1 million virtual pockets. I am pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. The Apple iOS and Android versions of Minecraft Pocket Edition have sold more than 1 million copies, according to a tweet from Mojang developer Daniel Kaplan. The mobile version of the popular world-building game debuted exclusively on Sony's Xperia, but was released on all Android platforms and inevitable on iOS. Minecraft Pocket Edition has now sold more than 1 million copies. Thanks for all the support, and I hope you like the coming updates, tweeted Kaplan. The game is pretty pricey for $6.99, but a number of cheap sales helped boost the game earlier in its release cycle. And on a semi-related note, Mojang founder and Minecrafter creator Marcus Notch Persson will be honored with a special award at this month's British Academy Video Games Awards, which is BAFTA. Persson will be given the award during the BAFTA award ceremony later this month. So congratulations, Marcus Notch Persson.
Yay!
Yay! All right, well, since that was a short one, I've got another fight.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. This is kind of a mad fight. Another one from GamePolitics.com. Adidas sues THQ for breach of contract. THQ, y'all are just getting screwed all every which way, man.
Oof.
Do you have a sign on the back of you that says, bend me over? I mean, all right. So, sportswear company Adidas has sued THQ for breach of contract, according to the Oregonian. The lawsuit was filed last Wednesday in the Multnomah County Circuit Court. The company claims that THQ signed an agreement to create a Mi Coach digital exercise software product, which it was to deliver in January of this year. THQ failed. So what's new?
Oh, man!
And Adidas claims this breach of the agreement has caused more than $10 million in damages. Supposed to give Adidas customers a digital exercise measurement tool like what Nike's Nike Plus currently offers. The agreement was signed in December of 2010. THQ has suffered a number of setbacks this year, including plummeting profits thanks to the UDraw peripheral on Xbox 360 and PS3. The company has been forced to restructure its play division and lay off hundreds of employees. No doubt Adidas is simply interested in the software it was promised and not a series of excuses. But come on, that's what they're best at. THQ has declined on the lawsuit. I'm going to assume they mean declined to comment on the lawsuit.
Because you can't decline a lawsuit, unfortunately.
The news comes from Kevin Dent, head of the IGDA Mobile SIG and harbinger of doom for all bad news related to THQ as of late. Wow. THQ, I'm so sorry. I really hope somebody invested in lube because, yeah.
Maybe they need to get together with Game and see if they can.
So they got to do something. Though Game is getting it pretty bad right now, too, so.
Yeah. Okay, I got two short ones real quick before we have to go with Game.
You do it.
Well, with Game, there are some rumors that they're just going to go ahead and pull the plug. Directors are considering cutting their losses after Game failed to secure the stock of Mario Party 9 and, of course, Mass Effect 3. Indeed, Game will not stock any of EA's planned March releases, which we told you about earlier in the show, the big ones being the Tiger Woods, FIFA Street, and Sims 3 Showtime. A source close to the situation told The Express there is a real risk that Game's directors will pull the plug because they can't be sure that the company can survive through the next trading season, and then insolvency becomes inevitable. There are discussions with their legal advisors about whether to shut up shop. I love how they people and look up more losses. Game could miss out on a potential $7 million in revenue and $2.5 million in profit by not stocking Mass Effect 3. This is from a prediction last week. Last month, Game managed to convince its syndicate of lenders led by Royal Bank of Scotland to relax its debt covenant, but sources close to the state-owned bank told the Express it was running out of patience. The immediate response from RBS will be to push for more store closures, but the tipping point for the directors and the lending banks will come when the stores don't have products to sell. This could happen if more suppliers follow suit. Another source added, RBS will be looking for the best way to secure its position or improve it. Suppliers pulling their products is a stepping stone to administration, but the problem for RBS pulling the plug is that it will be an expensive and complex administration because Game has 1,274 stores across Europe and Australia. Lending banks will only want to consider a prepack administration where there's a prearranged buyer. But who would want to buy Game at this point? Game Group, of course, was forced last week to issue a note to their shareholders in an attempt to claim concern over its ability to stock new games. They've also added, as part of a strategic plan, a development process which is announced on February 3rd. The group has been working closely with its suppliers as well as other stakeholders. In particular, the group has been discussing with its suppliers the level of support and engagement it needs from them over the coming months. There have during the process been isolated instances where it's not possible to agree on launch plans for individual titles. I gotta say, you UK gamers over there, you might want to take to your stock and maybe drop them a couple of dollars to keep them going if you want to keep them there. That's the only thing I can think of to help them, honestly. Good luck, guys. Oh, now this is a short one. Astro's been going on about this all week, and I talked to him twice this weekend. He's very excited. He may have mentioned it last week during the show. I don't really know, but I believe it was over the weekend because the first thing he said when I talked to him was, Valve! Okay, so apparently Valve may be getting their own spec for a PC technology item called the Steam Box. That would be built by a variety of partners, according to a report on GI.biz and another website called The Verge. According to sources, the recently announced Alien X51 may have been built with this in mind and could be upgraded to work with the Steam software plan for this new spec. Reportedly, meetings were held at CES to demo an early version of the console to selected companies. The basic spec would be an Intel Core i7 CPU, 8 gigabytes of RAM, and an NVIDIA GPU. Ooh, these boxes would be capable of running standard PC games and even rival digital distribution services. Ooh, delicious. One of the big differences between Valve's rumored box and the existing consoles would be lack of bureaucracy licensing fees. Other features might be controllers that can be reconfigured for different uses and possibly biometrics. The speculation is that Valve may announce this at GDC, or at least that more information may be made available to potential partners working up to the full E3 rollout. And once we know, we'll let you know. Oof, that is delicious.
Yes, totally delicious. Nom, nom, nom.
Ginger, okay, how you gonna take the game in church and turn it into cinnamon rolls?
I don't know. I'm talented like that. Tell me you love me.
By the way, Rift is having their first anniversary celebration. If you want to go play, they are telling you there's no time limit. You can play up through level 1 through 20. They don't want your credit card. And we got to go because we got warned. We got warned this time. We will see you guys bright and early tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day. You know where to find us, GamerGirlsRadio.com, GamerMatrix.com, all that good stuff. And keep an eye on our Twitter. As soon as Kickstarter lets us loose, we begin our world takeover.
Yes, cannot wait. Later, boys and girls.